Blog Talk Radio.
He's at the 20, throwing speed, 25, 30, 35. He's got a chance, needs a block. He's in midfield. He's going to take it to the house. See ya, 91 yards. Breaks one tackle. He's got some running room, 30, 35. He could go down the far sideline. I don't think they're going to get him. He's going to have a chance, so he takes him into 39. At the 40, comes to the outside, 45. He's at midfield, runs past the man, 40. He's coming back the other way. He's at the 30. He's at the 25, 20, 15, 10. He may go home, and he does. Holy cow! Kick in the air. LSU wins. I can tell you for sure now, LSU wins.
The sun will soon find its home in the western sky, and it will be Saturday night in Death Valley.
Welcome to Bingo Beat, a Tiger Hype podcast. I am your host, Patrick Fry, and I am here each and every week talking LSU football. Thank you for tuning in wherever you may be or however you may be listening. Be sure to go follow our Facebook page, Tiger Hype, and also our podcast page, Tiger Hype Podcast. We are also on the verge of launching a brand new website, our Tiger Hype website, and it will have some cool features like a marketplace, which will be like a swap shop for LSU things. So if anybody has some LSU things they want to maybe swap around with people and stuff, we also have a ticket exchange, a forum so that you guys can discuss with us what's happening in LSU sports. It's going to be an all brand new website that Hunter is putting the finishing touches on. As a matter of fact, he showed me the website, at least what was done of it yesterday, and it's pretty much about 90-95% done. Basically, all Hunter has to do at this point is cross the T's, dot the I's, and he's hoping by next weekend that this website will be launched. So for all you LSU fans out there, it's definitely a website you would definitely want to go check out. Going to have some cool stuff. I'm really looking forward to the forums, being able to interact and talk LSU sports and other things with some of our fans out there who enjoy the podcast. So let's talk football now. LSU was in action yesterday against Eastern Michigan. They continued their winning ways as they defeated the Eagles of Eastern Michigan 44-22 in Tiger Stadium last night. Once again, Leonard Fournette stole the show. And at this point, are you even surprised? Fournette had 26 carries for 233 yards, averaging 9 yards per carry, and scored 3 touchdowns. Through 4 games of this season, Leonard Fournette now has 99 carries, 864 yards, and 11 touchdowns. He only had 10 touchdowns all of last season and 1,034 yards last season, so he's now less than 300 yards away from matching his total yards from last season. His rushing yards per game is now up from 210 to 216 yards a game, and that is still number one in the country in that category. He is also number one in the country now in total rushing yards with 864. He also continues to make history. He also becomes the first running back in SEC history to have 3 consecutive 200-yard rushing games. So Fournette, man, it's been fun watching him, and we're going to talk a little more in-depth about this Eastern Michigan game last night. I was not very impressed with LSU's passing game last night. Brandon Harris, 4 of 15 for 80 yards, and he did throw 1 interception. He had a QBR last night of 40.7. And, you know, in a game like this, Eastern Michigan at home, you would think that they wouldn't even want, you know, Leonard Fournette to run for 233 yards, which is fine and everything. You know, at this point, he's carrying the team because our passing game last night just did not look like it was there. I mean, we only completed 4 passes all night long, and completing 4 passes against any other team on our schedule, maybe with the exception of a Western Kentucky, even then, Western Kentucky has been known to score a lot. So we would probably have to get away with, you know, completing more than 4 passes against pretty much any other team remaining on our schedule. That includes South Carolina this coming week, which we'll talk a little bit more about coming up. Of course, Leonard Fournette, we already mentioned 26 carries, 233 yards. Darrell Williams had a nice little showing last night backing up Leonard Fournette. He had 11 carries for 89 yards. Darius Geis, 3 carries 34 yards. Brandon Harris also added 26 rushing yards of his own with a touchdown. And Nick Brossette got in some action. He had 3 carries for 18 yards. So overall, rushing 399 total yards for the Tigers. The rushing ability of LSU, no concerns there. It's the passing of LSU is just, you know, that was the big talk coming into the season. Everybody knew what Leonard Fournette was going to do, and even Leonard Fournette has exceeded, I believe, any expectation that I've set for him. So I don't know about, and I know a lot of LSU fans out there set really, really high expectations for him, and right now he's certainly meeting those very high expectations with all these historical things he's doing, like the 3 consecutive 200-yard games, and now he's at, I think, 6 consecutive games with at least 140 yards. So that has to be some sort of record. I'm not sure, but man, what he's doing is unbelievable. So it's going to be fun to watch him continue that as the weeks come, because now we have 2 SEC East teams back to back this week. It is South Carolina. Let's look at the SEC. Well, no, let's go back. We're going to do a little, we're going to get to the SEC standings right after I do the scoring recap from last night. So it didn't take long for LSU to get on the board. Leonard Fournette, a 3-yard run with 10:40 remaining in the first quarter. LSU goes up 7-0. And then Brandon Harris, just a few minutes later, adds a 21-yard run. They're up 14-0 at this point. LSU's looking nice and smooth. The second quarter comes along. No scoring really happened till about halfway through the second quarter. Trent Domain, 26-yard field goal. LSU is up 17-0. And the cool thing about LSU so far this season, they have not allowed a first-half touchdown or have not turned over the ball in the first half. And unfortunately, it only took 12 seconds for both of those things to happen last night, because with 2:48 remaining in the first half, Shaq Van of Eastern Michigan scores on a 6-yard run. And then just 3 plays later, Brandon Harris throws his lone interception of the game, which the Eagles turned into another touchdown and made it 17-14. And then LSU gets a field goal from Trent Domain, 45-yard field goal with 10 seconds remaining in the first half. And it's 20-14 in favor of LSU at halftime. And at this point, Eastern Michigan certainly keeping it very much more respectable than what the spread had, because LSU was projected, was favored to win by about 40-plus points. So third quarter, it didn't take long for LSU to get on the board in the third quarter. Leonard Fournette, 12 seconds into the second half. Leonard Fournette, first play, actually, 75-yard run. LSU's up 27-14. Trent Domain adds a field goal later in the quarter with 2:17 left, 30-14 LSU. But then Eastern Michigan just did not want to go away right away. Dustin Creel got a 12-yard pass from Brogan Roback, and then they converted the 2-point conversion and made it 30-22. So going into the fourth quarter, it was actually a 1-possession game. Leonard Fournette then scores at the very beginning of the fourth quarter, just less than a minute into it, 11-yard run. And then to cap it all off, Deion Jones had a 26-yard interception return that made it 44-22, which was our final score. So very sloppy game last night for LSU. I know Leonard Fournette actually was not very pleased with the way they played. So even in a victory, it's good to see a guy like Fournette, who is the unquestioned leader of our offense and maybe one of the leaders of this team, with how just great he is and what he's been doing. And, you know, he just was not completely satisfied with the way we played last night, and that's how it should be. You know, even though we got a 22-point victory, it could have been a 44-point victory like the spread had projected us to do to Eastern Michigan. So a lot of things to improve on, especially the passing game going into next week at South Carolina. Now let's look at the Southeastern Conference football standings. We're going to start in the East, and then we'll come over to the West. The Florida Gators had a huge win last night against Ole Miss. They are now 3-0 in the SEC, and they are sitting atop the SEC East standings. Georgia suffered a bad loss. I said, well, it wasn't a bad loss, but it was a beatdown from Alabama last night. They're now 2-1. Kentucky 2-1 in the SEC as well. So Kentucky and Georgia tied for second right now. Kentucky's lone loss is to the Florida Gators, who are sitting atop the SEC standings. So Kentucky's having a pretty nice season. Missouri 1-1, and then The three teams at the bottom, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, and, of course, South Carolina. Tennessee and Vanderbilt are at 0-2. South Carolina is at 0-3 right now in the SEC. Now let's come on over to the West. Texas A&M and LSU tied atop the SEC West standings at 2-0. Ole Miss, huge win last night, 2-1 in the SEC. Their one loss. No, I'm sorry. They didn't have a win last night. I got a little brain fart there. They suffered a bad loss last night at Florida. They had a huge win against Alabama a couple of weeks ago. They're 2-1, so they fall back. Alabama now 1-1 in SEC play after their victory yesterday. Arkansas also got a big victory yesterday against Tennessee. So they're 1-1. Mississippi State suffered a loss last night to Texas A&M. They're now 1-2. And then Auburn is 0-2 in the SEC. So Auburn sitting at the bottom of the SEC standings. Right now there's only three remaining undefeated teams in the SEC. That would be Florida, Texas A&M, and LSU. And, of course, LSU has to play both of those undefeateds left. We got Florida in 2 weeks in Baton Rouge. Right now that's looking like a very, very huge game. So we're going to quickly go over the top 25 scoreboard before we dig into South Carolina. The number one team in the country, Ohio State, man, they continue to have these close games. And, you know, this really wasn't, you know, Ohio State had this well in command. Just Indiana wouldn't go away. Ohio State got away 34-27. Michigan State, speaking of close games, they at home got away from Purdue 24-21. Of course, the Florida Gators defeated the Ole Miss Rebels last night 38-10. TCU absolutely dominated Texas 50-7, and that, I don't know what's wrong with Texas. Texas just does not look like, I don't know. I read somewhere this morning, somebody said they're surprised Charlie Strong still even has a job. So Baylor, number five team in the country, they defeat Texas Tech 63-35. Baylor is looking very, very strong. Clemson, what a win last night for them. They defeated Notre Dame 24-22. Arizona State upsets UCLA. The seventh-ranked Bruins fall to the Sun Devils 38-23. Alabama gets a four-touchdown victory over the Georgia Bulldogs. Of course, LSU won 44-22. 11th-ranked Florida State, eight-point win over Wake Forest on the road. And then the 14th-ranked Texas A&M Aggies remain undefeated with a 30-17 victory over Mississippi State last night. Oklahoma, this was an early kickoff yesterday and a pretty decent game, but Oklahoma ran away from West Virginia 44-24. Northwestern absolutely blanks Minnesota 27-0. Stanford runs over Arizona 55-17. Iowa upsets, I don't even know if you can consider this an upset. Iowa beats 19th ranked Wisconsin 10-6 in Madison. Iowa moves to 5-0 in the year. Wisconsin falls to 3-2. Oklahoma State wins a shootout with Kansas State 36-34. They remain undefeated. And Michigan, man, you know, a lot of talk about Jim Harbaugh this season. They, Maryland 28-0. Their one loss was to Utah, which doesn't even look like a terrible loss at all at this point. So you have now California, 24th ranked. They get away from Washington State. They actually came back and won that game 34-28. Something just threw me off guard here. There's an NFL game actually going on right now. The New York Jets in Miami. Are they playing in London? I'm not sure. I'm going to have to check that out real quick. This game, I'm not sure where they're playing this game at, but Oh, yeah, they're playing in Wembley Stadium in London. Didn't think they were already. They're at halftime. New York Jets are winning that game 20-7. That just threw me off because I'm looking through the scores here on ESPN, and I see there's an NFL game in progress, and it's only 10:14 in the morning over here in the Central Standard Time Zone. So let's look ahead now to South Carolina. The series, LSU versus South Carolina, has actually been very dominant as far as, you know, in the favor of LSU. LSU has not lost to South Carolina since 1994. So it's been 21 years since the Tigers suffered a loss to the Gamecocks. Overall, LSU is 17-2-1 against the Gamecocks. Those two losses have come by a combined 2 points. The last time we lost to South Carolina was in Baton Rouge. We lost 18-17. And then the last time we lost to South Carolina in Colombia was actually 1930. So that was 85 years ago. We lost that game 7-6. So just a pair of one-point losses to South Carolina in history for LSU. LSU has now won five straight against South Carolina, and Les Miles is 3-0 against South Carolina. And the old ball coach, Steve Spurrier, our last meeting was in Tiger Stadium where LSU won that game 23-21, and South Carolina was actually ranked number three at the time, if I remember correctly. So that was a huge win for LSU in Tiger Stadium. But now we have to go on over there. So we're going to – let's see. South Carolina, of course, 2-3, 0-3 in the SEC, ranked 101st in total offense, 353 yards a game. Their rushing offense is in the top 50. They're 48th. Passing offense, not that great. 109 overall, 163 yards a game, and that's still even better than what LSU's doing. Some of their big, their highly ranked statistics, they're 15th in the country in fourth down conversions. They're 75%. So that's about their highest ranked statistic. They also are ranked 16th in the country. Fewest penalties per game. I know LSU had a problem last week at Syracuse with penalties, and South Carolina is actually one of the more least penalized teams in the country. And then they have the playmaker Pharaoh Cooper. So Pharaoh Cooper, a guy that could cause LSU some problems. There was talk about LSU maybe getting Jalen Mills back for this game. He did travel with the team to to Syracuse last week, and he's expected to resume practice. I'm not sure if it might be this week or what, but Jalen Mills is not far off from returning to action in Death Valley. So going to be great to get Jalen Mills back. I think he's going to be a very big X factor for this defense. So I would just stay tuned if there's any news of Jalen Mills coming back for the South Carolina game. Just stay locked in to our Facebook page, Tiger Hype Podcast, or even Tiger Hype, because if Jalen Mills has announced that he will begin playing again against South Carolina, we'll be sure to post that on our Facebook page. But we're going to talk a little bit more about this LSU versus South Carolina matchup. LSU, Connor Shaw, I believe he was hurt earlier this season. I haven't been able to keep up with South Carolina really that much. So South Carolina has a new quarterback in there. And let me go see. I got to go and check this out because I forget the guy's name. Like I said, I haven't really kept up with South Carolina that much this season. But we're going to check it out, what they did yesterday. They did lose to Missouri last night. So we're going to check out the box score of that game. Lorenzo Nunez for South Carolina is the guy's name. 15 of 24 last night, 172 yards, one touchdown, three interceptions. Connor Shaw suffered an injury earlier this season, and he will be out. So the total QBR for Lorenzo Nunez last night was 34.6, which is less than Brandon Harris's 40.7. So South Carolina, they're having quarterback problems of their own. They're rushing. Lorenzo Nunez was also their leading rusher last night with 60 yards on the ground. David Williams, one of their other running backs, had 40 yards. Pharaoh Cooper, though, like I said, he's the guy to watch out for on this offense. He had 9 catches last night for 102 yards and no touchdowns. I'm actually going to go look at his season statistics because I believe they're actually pretty nice. Well, nice enough. The 26 catches, 322 yards, and only 2 touchdowns. So, man, that's he scored a touchdown. Let's see. Looking at the game logs here, he scored a receiving touchdown in the opening game against South Carolina, and then he scored one against UCF 2 weeks ago, and they're only 2 wins of the year. So at this point, if LSU doesn't allow Pharaoh Cooper to score a touchdown, then they're going to win the game because right now, according to these statistics, South Carolina is 2-0 when Pharaoh Cooper scores a touchdown, and they're 0-3 whenever he doesn't. We're going to look over their schedule real quick. Opening weekend, I was actually opening night, they defeated North Carolina 17-13, and then they lost 26-22 against Kentucky. Got demolished on the road at Georgia 52-20. Came back home to beat UCF 31-14, and then last week falling 24-10 at Missouri. So South Carolina is just not having a great season. But, hey, you don't want to overlook an SEC team no matter how terrible they may be playing, because those SEC teams could get you in a heartbeat, especially on the road. You know, we got to go all the way over to South Carolina. It's an early kickoff. And at this point, it does not look like South Carolina has much to lose. I mean, they're at the bottom of the SEC East, and they just have not been able to, you know, they had not had any luck this year. You know, their starting quarterback goes down. Luckily, they still have Pharaoh Cooper, who really has been a non-factor in all of their losses. So it's going to be an interesting game. Early kickoff in South Carolina. Hopefully there's no hurricanes in the Atlantic that will cause a torrential downpour like it did this past Saturday for all those college football teams over on the East Coast. So, I was watching the Alabama-Georgia game yesterday. That was a torrential downpour. Also, Notre Dame and Clemson last night, a torrential downpour. It was just a lot of sloppy-looking games yesterday due to the weather. We're now in October. The cooler weather is here. I know it was beautiful weather yesterday in Baton Rouge for tailgating. So hopefully it'll be beautiful weather in Columbia, South Carolina for LSU and South Carolina next weekend. Let's see. I'm kind of running short. We're going to go back. I'm going to look now at the LSU team statistics through four games here. Let's see. I got them written down. So, of course, the rushing game is outstanding. Fourth overall in the country in rushing offense, 336 yards for LSU. We're now 47th in total offense, 431.5 yards a game. Passing offense, we're not dead last, but we're 123rd. We're total defense. Our defensive numbers are looking pretty good. 16th overall in the country, giving up 293.5 yards a game. Our rushing defense, 19th in the country. Our passing defense, 36th in the country, and our team passing efficiency on defense, 43rd in the country. We're also 14th in the country in turnover margin. Like I said, we gave up our first turnover last night to Eastern Michigan when Brandon Harris threw that interception. LSU has been taking very good care of the ball overall this season, though. We are 101st in the country in third down conversion percentage, so that right there is a statistic that somewhat scares me. We're also 124th in the country in fourth down conversion, but I don't even think LSU is even going for it on fourth down this year at all. So as far as defensively, third down conversion percentage, 39th in the country, only giving up 32% of conversion rating on for our defense. Pretty much other than that, LSU's somewhere – middle of the pack in all the statistics. There's a couple of statistics where we're ranked in the hundreds, which, you know, I wish we can get up there, but, you know, hey, we keep winning, then I'm not going to be too upset about it. But at this point, I'm trying to find something else to talk about. I thought I had enough to cover the entire podcast here, but I did see some quotes earlier that I just didn't put down about what Leonard Fournette said about last night's victory. Let's see. We're going to go look right here. I actually found it. Maybe this isn't it. All right, here's a couple of quotes Leonard Fournette said from last night. We probably underestimated them because of their record. That's on us. We've got to pick it up. Like I said, Leonard Fournette was not very pleased with the overall performance of the team last night. So, you know, he's speaking out about his frustrations about that. Also, Fournette fell just shy of 18 yards of breaking the school single season rushing record, and he's come very close, obviously, in the last three games. He finished 7 yards last week of breaking that record. Does he really care? He said, quote, I don't care as long as we are winning. So extending his front runner status for the Heisman Trophy, Fournette rolls to 6 straight games now of 100 rushing yards. There's only one other player that's actually done that, and that's Charles Alexander. So Leonard Fournette, more so likely, he was just frustrated with how sloppy they played last night. And here we go. I think they got more quotes right here. Here we go. LSU's Leonard Fournette comments that about the small point spread. LSU was favored by 45 points. He said, quote, "That's on the leaders, on the team for not stepping up in practice while everybody was joking around and playing." So I guess Fournette is just not satisfied about how the leaders of the team were joking around and playing because of the fact that it's Eastern Michigan. But this week you return to SEC play, so I'm sure the mentality will get a little more serious. I mean, the way LSU's been winning games, I guess I'm not saying they have room to joke around and take it easy, but, you know, I mean, at least, you know, let them enjoy the moment. But when it's time to take care of business on Saturdays, they need to take care of business. And so far, they have done that. So also want to remind you again, this coming week sometime, we're going to have a brand new website that will be launched, tigerhype.com. It will have a marketplace where, like, an LSU swap shop of items and stuff like that. We're also going to have a ticket exchange for you to exchange tickets for people and all that. And I'll have much more information on that on next week's episode, which will be next Sunday after LSU takes on South Carolina. By that time, we believe it will be launched because all Hunter pretty much has left to do on that podcast is, dot the T. I'm losing my mind here. It's early in the morning for me. Cross the T's, dot the I's, about 90-95% done. We're also going to have a forum. That's the one thing I'm excited about. So anybody who's any fan of Tiger Hype, you can sign up for this website. You can join the forum, discuss LSU sports. I'll also be on there on the forum discussing LSU sports from time to time. Hunter and I is going to get it going, get it rolling, get people discussing stuff. It's going to be a cool website. I've already seen it. Hunter is very, very good at designing websites. So I'm very anxious for this website to launch. So be on the lookout coming week for the launch of the new Tiger Hype website, tigerhype.com. Well, starting to run down on time here for episode 11 of Bengal Beat. Remember to like our Facebook page, Tiger Hype, as well as our podcast page, Tiger Hype Podcast. This coming week, LSU returns to SEC action as they travel to Columbia, South Carolina for an early kickoff at noon Eastern Time, 11 o'clock Central, and the game will be televised by ESPN. The Mad Hatter and the old ball coach going toe-to-toe one more time in Columbia, South Carolina. It should be a fun game. Honestly, I think South Carolina will compete because, you know, the old ball coach will compete with LSU, I believe, but LSU will eventually prevail. The one problem I'm hoping that does not persist is that we look ahead to 2 weeks from now, because that Florida game in 2 weeks is looking absolutely huge. If Florida wins this coming week, we could very, very well see College Game Day come to Baton Rouge in 2 weeks. So 11 a.m. kickoff next week, televised by ESPN. LSU will be taking on South Carolina over in Columbia. That's about all the time for me, folks. Until next week, go Tigers.